Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have something to share with you this morning. I have red hair. Oh, maybe it's already perfectly obvious to you that I have red hair. But did you know that there are certain rules that go with having red hair? Now, the first rule is that you have to use sunscreen. Lots and lots of sunscreen. There's a good reason for this rule, and it isn't just to prevent future skin cancer. Because you see, my skin can be two colors, very pale or red. I have never in my entire life tanned, and I doubt that it's going to happen in the future. So after a very red, very painful sunburn that peeled and was just an awful experience, I've gotten very, very good at this using sunscreen rule. Now there's another rule that says that redheads cannot wear red or pink. Now, I don't know who makes these rules, but it frustrated me to no end as a child, and my sister as well, she has brown hair, because we would have coordinated outfits, but mine was always blue or green, and hers was red or pink. So I didn't get to wear the red or pink. But as I got older, the world seemed to relax a little bit on these rules. And you may notice that I kind of like to wear red. I think I'm still rebelling against that rule that was ingrained in me. Because you see, some rules have good reasons behind them, and they make sense, and other rules, not so much. I think that is what Jesus is trying to say to us in today's reading. He is saying to the Pharisees, who are these very religious people who like to follow all the rules, Jesus, being Jewish, knew the rules about washing food and washing hands, and the rules had gotten more and more complicated. And people felt like they were respecting God and becoming closer to God by doing these things. And what Jesus is calling them out on is that they are outwardly doing these things, but then they are breaking other commandments, like honoring your father and your mother, or doing things that hurt people, either physically hurt them or verbally abuse them. How can they say they are people of faith if they do these things that are not about the core of loving God and loving neighbor? That is what Jesus is calling them out on. But as humans, we very, very often get off track, and we need to be set straight again. This made me think of the movie Hidden Figures that came out at the end of 2016. You may be familiar with the story. It was about three African-American women in the early 1960s who worked for NASA, and their role was human computer. It was before we had a lot of computers, and individuals did all those computations and calculations that went into the space program. And one of these women in particular proved to be brilliant at doing this, and she was recognized for that and moved into a group of engineers that were otherwise all white men. And they needed her, and one morning at work, they couldn't find her. She seemed to be absent for a long period of time. And somebody said, "I think she went to the restroom." Well, the boss wasn't real happy with this, and where was she, and why wasn't she coming back? And so he confronts her when she does get back. And it turns out that to go to the restroom, she had to walk a half mile across this big campus to use the only restroom she was allowed to use as a colored person. Well, this got his attention, and he decided that this was not right. And they tore down all the signs that said these are for white people and these are for colored people. Now, this story is one that we could celebrate this small step forward, but it's also troublesome. Why did it take a situation where somebody stood out as exceptional to get the dominant culture to even notice this injustice? And why is it that the Civil War ended in this country in 1865, and yet we are still so far from where we should be in terms of equality and fighting injustice. Even the 60s were 50 years ago, and we're still trying to deal with all of these things and this legacy of injustice. This is exactly what Jesus was trying to get at. We have been asking the question since the beginning of January about why church? Does church in this era even matter? Why do we come and gather here together on Sundays? Well, today, what Jesus is talking about is it's all about what is in our hearts. How do we redeem our hearts? How do we get forgiven for the things that we do that are hurtful? How do we express love from our hearts? Because it isn't doing good things that redeems us. No, Jesus took care of that by dying on the cross for us. Jesus, who was 100% innocent, died for our sins to be forgiven. It is Jesus that redeems us. And this gift of grace is given to each and every one of us. But what do we do with it? Once we are given that gift, we are compelled and inspired to care for others as Jesus did. And we had the opportunity this morning at the intergenerational event to do just that, to gather together and make sandwiches and package granola bars for a soup kitchen and for the Simpson Housing Shelter. Simpson's Shelter was started by the people of Simpson United Methodist Church, which is at 28th and Nicollet in South Minneapolis. It was a particularly cold and snowy winter in 1981, and what they did was open their doors to give people a warm place to sleep. This became the Simpson Shelter, and they now are able to house 22 women and 44 men each night. They have a twofold purpose. One is the people in crisis, the ones that need to come in off the street. And then second is to help work with the issues that cause homelessness and this systemic poverty kind of issues. We have a video that I would like to show you a clip of about the Simpson Shelter that is something that PBS put together.
In America, we have plenty of well-known rights. The right to say what we want, the right to bear arms, the right to not incriminate ourselves in court. But what about the right to a house? In the 1940s, a psychologist named Abraham Maslow put forward his theory of the hierarchy of needs, the stuff all human beings need to survive. At the base of the pyramid, the things most crucial to survival are food, water, sleep, and shelter. How important in the hierarchy of needs is shelter?
I would argue that shelter is among the most important. If we do housing well, that means that healthcare outcomes improve. Mm-hmm. That means public safety improves. That means employment outcomes improve. That means education outcomes improve. We're able to make use of some of our great education resources if we've got families and stable housing.
If you apply that idea today, it means that more than 500,000 people in this country on any given night are going without one of the most basic things they need to survive.
A housing crisis has turned into a very visible problem for the city of Minneapolis.
For the last couple days, we've all been feeling the brutally cold weather, but imagine if you didn't have a place to live. You didn't have heat. That is the actual reality for about 200 men, women, and children who are living at a homeless encampment.
How did that happen? How did the encampment happen?
Yeah, so the what we saw last year at Franklin and Hiawatha, first of all, was really, one way of looking at that is that it was a concentration and a gathering of something that is happening every night across the city now. People started to gather on that spot. It was organic. It was, you know, word of mouth. And, you know, 10 tents became 20 tents, became 40 tents, yeah. Became more than 100 tents.
Many countries across the world have decided a situation like this is unacceptable. And they've put in place countless laws and programs basically saying a safe place to live is a fundamental human right, right up there with the freedom of religion and all the others.
That got us thinking, if we made America from scratch today, is this something that we would take up?
when our country was founded on the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what kind of life did the founding fathers think that we all had a right to? 2 centuries ago, land was cheap, and homes were something you built yourself out of logs and mud. Today, housing is driven by economics, and if you want a home, you need to buy into the system, often at levels average people can't afford. Which has led to the creation of countless nonprofit and humanitarian organizations that are trying to give everyone a housing option regardless of their income.
We have been successful in rehousing thousands of households.
Wow.
In our country, what we suffer from is actually the fact that as we are doing that work with an individual or a family, there is another one down the street who is getting pushed out of housing. The problem is that their folks are losing housing at a slightly higher rate than we are rehousing them.
Ah. But in a country where the self-made, self-sufficient person is held as the gold standard, there are plenty of reasons people don't believe housing is a right. Is there a stigma that people with housing have in regards of homelessness that they just don't know about homelessness? Like when we think about homelessness, we just think, oh, this person doesn't have a house.
Yeah.
What is a way to clear that stigma up or get people educated to what exactly homelessness is?
Yeah, that's a fabulous question, and I'm glad you asked. This sort of crisis, as we were talking about the types of crisis we were talking about before, it can affect, you know, many, many people. When I look at what folks who are staying with our shelter at our shelter here, what their path looks like versus mine, oftentimes I think about the crises that I've been able to navigate,
yeah.
And the difference between my situation and theirs was very simply that I had a family that was able to step in and support me when I was when I was in crisis, and that is sometimes the only difference for folks. So I would say volunteering, getting into shelters and into places where services being offered is the absolute best way to eliminate that stuff.
A group of tents first showed up about a month ago along the wall next to Hiawatha App.
So the question is, why church? Because church is where we learn about God's love and how to go out into the world and love others. Because church helps us understand that we can do more together than individually. As one of the staff people from the Simpson Shelter said, when you think about homeless people, don't focus on the homeless part. Focus on the people. That is what Jesus wants us to do. Amen.